Well, you know, every week we get together with Siobhan Canty, who is the president and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation, and she updates us on what we're seeing this week in the community and services available from our nonprofits and to our nonprofits. And we talk about the unmet needs and current developments. And it's always good to touch base with Siobhan. Siobhan, are you there?
I am. Good morning, Chris. Oh, thanks good. For having me again.
Good connection. Good connection. I know. We got to stop meeting like this.
Hopefully, sometime soon. But we're flattening the curve, so let's be prepared to do this for a little while longer.
I hear you. Well, so tell us what's happening in our beloved county this week. There's so much going on, and every week you have something really encouraging to tell us about. And so I'm sure that this week is no exception.
There is so much happening, Chris, and this community has so much to be proud of. You know, there's so many people struggling, but the incredible generosity of our community keeps showing up. We're up to 361 donors to the COVID Emergency Response Fund for a total commitment of over $385,000, which is just incredible.
Keeps on going up. Keeps on going up, doesn't it?
It does. It does. It's just it's a joy to be in a place where people come to show their the best of themselves in the most difficult of times. And to connect that to the hard work of these nonprofit leaders, it's extraordinary what they're doing and what we're all doing together to make sure that everyone survives this and that we can recover soon, we hope. So we have about just over $292,000 that have gone back out into the community. I'll give you a very quick overview of how things are going out there. The food providers, the food banks are seeing a slight uptick in users, 202 new households since the pandemic began are using the services of our four food banks in the East County. So they've served over 1,690 people in the last week, which is extraordinary. OLECAP continues to provide fresh food, fruits and vegetables to those folks. So they have nutritious food as well. And so our food systems are just really strong. This week from the COVID fund, we were able to award another $650 to St. Paul's Church for their Just Soup meal program for low-income seniors and people living without homes. That number is increasing, the number of clients they're seeing.
What a great name for a program, Just Soup. I mean, God, it says it all. It's great.
It does, and it's that simple. Building community and helping people really is that simple, and it's great to see them in operation.
And it's that just as well.
Yes, correct. The farmers markets, they're rocking and rolling. They opened 2 weeks ago. They've served over 170 people a week through their new online portal, which this community supported through the fund. And they have another $7,000 this week to provide dollar-for-dollar matching to community members who qualify for SNAP and WIC and other assistance programs. So they're going to be able to provide those services without a cap through the summer now. In Chimicum, we see the Community Wellness Project setting up a little free pantry in the Port Hadlock, Irondale area. And they're also launching a home support team to provide additional support. We're seeing some folks that continue to be isolated and have not easy access to family, friends, or neighbors to help. And so they're going to have a team that makes sure to in their grocery and meal delivery services or needs are met. So that's exciting, an exciting new piece of service delivery developing in Chimicum. Another exciting component was this new Olympic Peninsula Farmers Fund that's being launched by the North Olympic Peninsula Resource Conservation and Development Council, along with the W Extension Small Farms Program, the North Olympic Land Trust, and Jefferson Land Trust. And they are raising $50,000 to support contracts between local farmers and food banks and feeding programs. So that will extend that relationship and service delivery through the next couple of years. We've donated through the fund $8,000 to get started. So anyone who is interested in learning more about that can go to any one of those organizations' websites. But it's great to see ways that we're supporting not only people who need food, but also our local farmers.
I think that's just a fantastic thing that's happening, especially for and with our local farmers, because they're providing so much to us as a community.
Oh, it's incredible. And I think the more we can do to raise our heads up and look at the systemic ways that we can approach the needs of our community, the more we can support our businesses while meeting our basic human needs, the better off we're going to be. So I just want to say to anyone listening, we are accepting proposals for this fund. You can go to jcfgives.org. If you or someone you know is thinking about recovery efforts or finding gaps in needs that you want to try to meet, we're really inviting proposals to this fund. So we're looking forward to more creative ideas like this Farmers Fund.
It must be wonderful, Siobhan, for you to get creative suggestions in the mail, on the phone, through the door, but people actually coming in to talk about just really creative ways of making things happen in this community. Is just a wonderful thing. And it must be a delight for you and your staff to be able to go over these things.
It is, truly. And it's a real honor to be of service in this place, in this moment. I think it's some of the most important work that I will do in my career, and it's an honor to do it in service of such a generous community.
You know, speaking of generous community and some of the other things that we touched on just briefly, I know that so there's some big things that have been on the radar screen this week, affordable housing, childcare, talking about our business community. But let's kind of go down. Let's talk about those and where we are with affordable housing and how you see it from your perch.
That's a great question, Chris. We are very concerned about the state of affordable housing in our community. You know, we have to compete for our workforce. We are not a natural destination for people to come, particularly working families. And if people come out to the peninsula, they're going to look for communities that have things like affordable housing and adequate childcare. And we simply have a lot of work to do in that regard. Right now, our wages for minimum wage and average wage workers here are below state average. Our rents are higher than state average, and this was all before the pandemic. And you can imagine, as people move out of the pandemic, folks in Seattle and other cities, they want to get out of the city. They could be coming in our direction. And now is the time for us to start having conversations about how we're not going to lose momentum in the affordable housing effort, how we're going to double down, talk to folks about making their spaces that are largely empty available for rent, making sure that the rents are achievable for working families. Now is the time to support our local housing organizations like Bayside, like Homeward Bound, like Habitat for Humanity, all of the organizations doing incredible work in our community. We cannot lose momentum right now, or this could be a turning point from which it will take even longer to recover. So affordable housing is a key on that landscape, and childcare is as well with working families. We have such minimal childcare. These are the two areas that we really feel like, looking very far forward, if we do some work on it now, our recovery will be faster.
I know we were talking about what do parents do, like, for example, if schools don't open in the fall. There's quite a balancing act that a lot of families are going to have to do.
Indeed. And right now we have two child care facilities in operation. That's just not adequate for us to be able to support our working families, particularly if this goes on, as this goes on through the summer and perhaps through the fall. I want to encourage everyone to go to Child Care Aware WA. So that's www.childcareawarewa.org. And you can find some more statistics about our local child care scenario and some resources that are available to you. but we definitely have work to do in terms of connecting nannies, child care workers, even home-based child care. You know, we have some legislation in place that is just not going to suit us moving into this new age. So there's a lot of advocacy that has to be done, a lot of work that has to be done to ensure that our children are safe, that our child care workers are safe as they take care of them. And so we're hoping to report back to you soon about some additional efforts in that, on that front.
Very important. And I also wanted to make one comment. I think I made this comment to you before, but nothing would please me more. And I said this before we had to shut everything down, but nothing would please me more than to be able to see the waiters and waitresses and the dishwashers and the housekeepers being able to walk the street and live in this town along with everybody else.
Absolutely. It was a challenge before this started happening. I really, really call on the community. There's something all of us can do. 25% of our housing inventory is empty for 75% of the year or more. If you have an ADU, a basement apartment, something that you can put on the market for an affordable rate for minimum to average wage workers in our community, that's $575 to $875 a person. So you can look at the rents. We only have 0 to 1% rental units available in our community. That was before the pandemic. So please, if you own a home, if you own space that could be made available to local workers, please consider making that possible. It'll make a big difference.
Something really important to think about. And Siobhan, we have a few more minutes, and we would be remiss, I think, without giving some acknowledgement to some of the business community that have stepped forward over this last week.
Oh, it's been incredible. I mean, it's not just been in the last week. It's over the last few weeks. And I think, again, we have so much to be proud of. Kristen Manwaring Insurance has been providing free consultation to nonprofits and businesses on human resource management and benefits management. You can imagine how complicated that's been recently. The Business Guides have been providing free weekly webinars on issues related to keeping your business open and thriving through this. Clarity has been offering services to nonprofits. So just an incredible response from our business leaders. Additionally, we have a number of large donors to the fund. Edensaw Community Cancer Foundation, $25,000 donation from them. The Noon Rotary, again, $25,000. They gave a couple weeks ago. First Federal Community Foundation has given $25,000. And the Fund for Women and Girls has given $25,000. And That's just an incredible show of support for this community from business leaders who themselves are facing a real challenge right now. So I just want to give a shout out to those folks and to thank everyone in our community, our business leaders, but also, you know, the folks who are sending in $10 and $25 checks. Every amount helps. And as I've said to you before, Chris, this is a marathon. You know, we're in this. We're doing great. We're staying at home. We're keeping each other safe, and we're showing up with our hearts and our funds and our minds to make sure that everyone gets through this. So keep it coming. We have a ways to go. Keep your good creative ideas coming. For more information about the fund, folks can go to www.jcfgive. That's Jefferson Community Foundation, jcfgive.org.
And then one last thing, Siobhan, especially these days with people having to stay home, there are feelings of isolation, sometimes feelings just sort of being removed from society a bit, and there's some loneliness, there's some anxiety out there. I know that the National Alliance for Mental Illness in Jefferson County.
The National Alliance on Mental Illness.
Yeah. And then the Benji Project, Jumping Mouse, Discovery Behavioral Health. They're all in this to help out. And I think there are a couple of telephone numbers that maybe people would be able to use if they needed to use them.
Indeed, Chris, thank you for bringing us back to that. As this goes on longer, there are more and more feelings of anxiety and depression. So folks can reach out to the Volunteers of America hotline, the I'm Hurting Crisis Chat Line, at 888-910-0416, or to the National Alliance on Mental Illness. Their helpline is 800-273-8255. And if you know anyone, and particularly folks who are living on their own, don't wait until they come to you. Just check in on them and, you know, share the number just in case. You never know when someone might be hurting.
Siobhan Canty, thank you so much. President and CEO of the Jefferson Community Foundation. And it's always a pleasure to talk to you. And we shall talk again next week.
Thank you, Chris. And thanks to KPGZ for being a great community partner.
All right. Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.